Well, good day, everyone, and welcome to our third session of Faith in the Power of God. And we're going to continue talking about, as we've moved toward that power beginning to work in us, but now we're going to see that power in me today. And I don't know that we'll get through with this today, so we may have a couple of weeks on this particular topic. Let's pray as we get started this morning. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you that to us, your word has been made wisdom and power. And we just give you praise and glory for that. We just declare today that your power has free reign in us as we give the Holy Spirit control of our lives. And we look forward to what you're going to teach us today. In Jesus' name we pray it. And everybody said amen and amen. Last week we talked about his power at work in my hands, and we saw it was at work just like Jesus did. But in 1 Corinthians 2, where we've been anchored, verses 1 through 4, Paul said that he came determined to them to preach only Jesus, the gospel of Jesus, his death and his resurrection. But then in verses 4 and 5, he said he did so in demonstration of the Spirit and of power, that our faith should not rest on the wisdom of men, but on what? On the power of God. And again, the power, the ability, that dunamis ability to back up all of his words and bring them to pass that the Holy Spirit brings. In 1 Corinthians 1, 23 and 24, we've also been anchored there. And we saw how people can hear the same word and it's different to each of them. But to us, verses 23 and 24, as we hear about Christ, him crucified, and as we become identified with him in oneness, then we see that message or that word to us is what? Both power and wisdom. And we don't want just either one. We need both. We looked last week at more accounts in Acts 3 and Acts 4 of power manifesting through the apostles. And we saw in verse 33 of that chapter 4 how the apostles were performing or with great power the works of the Lord, but we also saw that what? Great grace was upon them all. And so we take encouragement from that. From there, we looked at Acts 6, looking at Stephen, who the scripture described as what? Full of wisdom and full of faith, or the words, with power. And at his hands, great wonders and signs were performed. And so what do we see here? That power was not just manifesting in the apostles, but in believers. And that tied right into what Jesus told us at the end of Mark, the book of Mark in chapter 16, in verses 18, 17 and 18, and where we read that the signs will accompany those who believe. That's you and I. And in my name, they will cast out demons, power. They will speak with new tongues, power. They will pick up serpents, and if they drink any deadly poison, it shall not hurt them, power, and they will lay hands on the sick, and they will recover. More power. And we saw that we looked to Jesus, really, as our examples, not just the apostles, at how he did those works. Those works that he said of us, same and greater shall you do. And in John 14:10, he said, it's the Father in me who dwells in me who does what? Who does the works. So the Father did it through Jesus, through his hands, we might say. And we close that session really by looking at a number of scriptures, and we'll only cite one of them today in Acts 5, where at the hands of the apostles, many signs and wonders were taking place amongst the people. And that's in verse 12. And none of this should really come as a surprise to us, because back in Zechariah, in the 4th chapter of the 6th verse, he reminds us that it's not by might, our might, it's not by any of our power, but it's what? By my Spirit, says and declares the Lord. And so, here in that then, we see that this power is available to work in us, just as it was through us in our hands. But today we're going to look at that specifically as his power in me. And let me tell you, this is the devil's worst nightmare. We'll explain some things of why I believe this more here in a moment. But this is why sometimes he fights us tooth and nail. But he can only use that ability he has, which is limited, and we have authority and power over him. But don't be surprised that he wants to resist you and I. Again, it's his worst nightmare. So let's see this. Let's go to Luke, the third chapter, and I want to look at the 21st and 22nd verse. And we're going to be studying in Luke 3 and 4, but we're not going to go through detail, particularly in Luke 4. We're going to look for things about power today. So verse 21 says, "Now it came about, when all the people were baptized, that Jesus also was baptized. And while he was praying, heaven was opened, and the Holy Spirit descended upon him in bodily form like a dove." A dove didn't necessarily come, but it was like a dove that the Holy Spirit came upon him. "And a voice came out of heaven and said, 'Thou art my beloved Son, in thee or in whom I am well pleased.'" Now, to this point, I do not believe Jesus had performed any miracles. And there's a couple of things to note about this. I know that some other versions of the Bible talk about him maybe raising a bird from back to life and things like that. I just don't believe it. And you'll see why as we talk about this in just a moment. But I also want you to notice that he's well pleased with his son, even though he hadn't performed any signs and wonders. That ought to give you and I encouragement. That ought to give you and I such great encouragement. Now, the reason I don't believe he performed miracles is because it just says in verse 23, "And when he began his ministry." So we know that now is the time that that starts. Now let's move over. Jesus has been baptized by the Holy Spirit, sinless, and that's important, that the Spirit could come on him in that manner. So let's go to chapter 4, and we'll read verses 1 and 2. "And Jesus, full of the Holy Spirit, returned from the Jordan and was led about," how? By the Spirit. Now he's led about to do everything by the Spirit, but he was led to the wilderness. And that shouldn't scare us. Because, you know, people say, "Well, I'm in the wilderness. I can't hear anything." Well, the Spirit led Jesus there. And I don't believe the Spirit left him when he was there. So we should not fear that either. And then it says, "For 40 days he was there, being tempted by the devil, and he ate nothing during those 40 days. And when the time had ended, he became hungry." Now, I'd say you think a man, just as we are, sinless, yes, but now baptized with the Holy Spirit, just as we should be. Now, with this, I just want to pause here on 1 and 2, and I want to ask a question. I guess before I should do that, though, I should just say, let's remember Acts 1:8, where Jesus told his disciples, "You tarry in Jerusalem, and then you're going to be what? You're going to be baptized by the Spirit, and in that, you're going to receive power to be my witnesses." So let's just study this with all that background. Now, I want to ask a couple of questions about verses 1 and 2. Why now was Jesus bombarded at the devil by this point in his life? Why not back when he was 12? Why not back when he was 20 or 25? You pick an age before 30, which he now is. Why now? What is the difference? Well, what happened that we read in Luke 3? He was baptized by the Holy Spirit. Might I say he became anointed by God, the anointed one. He became the Messiah, the anointed one. And I'm going to add with his anointing, because that's important for us. Now, what does the anointing do? Well, you go back to Isaiah and it breaks yokes of bondage. Whose yokes of bondage? The ones that the devil puts upon us. And now we see what? Why the devil bombarded Jesus with all these temptations. Hit him with things about his flesh when he was hungry, his spirit, talking about worship, his soul, when he said, you know, "Jump and the Lord will protect you with his angels." And Jesus overcame all of those. And how do we know he did that? By the word. So here we've got the situation set where Jesus has been baptized by the Holy Spirit and the anointing is scaring the devil. But I just want to paint a picture for you. It's like two chemicals. I can remember in chemistry lab, being told by my chemistry teacher, both in high school and at Georgia Tech, don't put the water or any water on sodium, or don't put the sodium in any water. Because when you put those two things together, you're going to get an explosion. And of course, there were people who did. And the one professor even showed us a little bit about what it would look like. So we got two things that when they're by themselves, nothing happens. But when they're put together, then something happens. And that's what we're about to see. The anointing is now on Jesus. It's on us. And when we add faith to that, faith comes how? By the word of faith. It's like putting a blasting cap in dynamite. Now, it's interesting because dynamite is the word we get from the word dunamis, which means that what? Great power. And so this is what you're going to see. And again, it's going to be enable you and I to be a witness. So when we mix the anointing that we see on Jesus here, and I'm going to go ahead and talk about it being as if it's on us, which it is. When we mix that with the faith which comes from the word of faith, what do we get? We get power. But how about when you don't mix it with faith? Well, we've got a scripture that gives us an indication. Hebrews 4:2. It talks about the fact that they had good news preached to them, just as others had. But the word that they heard did not profit them. In other words, it what? It had no power manifesting, because it was not united by faith with those who heard it. So it's the power can be there, but it takes that faith to unite with it before that dunamis power can take place. Now let me say, God's so gracious, so merciful, He's given us some ways that if we don't have the faith necessarily to receive at the moment, He can give gifts of faith to others. And I'll actually talk about that, I think, in just a moment. So let's go back now to Luke 4 and jump to verse 14. So now we've got Jesus, the anointing on Him. He's overcome the temptations of the devil. He's heard from the Lord. And look at what it says. Jesus returned to Galilee in the power of the Spirit, and news about Him spread through all the surrounding land. Now, why would news spread? Because probably that power began to be at work. I would think that would be the case. So it spread through all the surrounding districts. Now jump down to 16. And He came to Nazareth, His hometown, where He had been brought up, and as was His custom. Now, I want you to see, as was His custom. He's just been baptized by the Spirit. So His custom is not what He was doing after He was baptized. Before, He was still seeking His Father and gathering together with believers. And there's a whole message for you and I in that today of how important that is. So He entered the synagogue then, as was His custom, on the Sabbath, and He stood up to read. He stood up to declare the word of the Lord, which is what? That faith brings faith, that blasting cap. And then in verse 17, He was handed the book of the prophet Isaiah, which I would say is the fifth gospel. It's just like, I mean, it just brings us in Old Testament types and shadows, Jesus. And it was handed to Him, and He opened the book, and He found the place where it was written. And I like to read that as where it was written about Himself. He found Himself in the Word. You and I can do that too today throughout the New Testament. And look at what He said. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because He has anointed me. There's that anointing. To preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to preach deliverance to the captives. Now, I'm reading out of New American Standard and that phrase is not in there. To proclaim release to the captives, mine says, and recovery of sight to the blind, to set free those who are downtrodden, and to proclaim the favorable year of the Lord. And then look at verse 20. And He closed the book, and He gave it back to the attendant, and He sat down. Now, I believe he sat down in the chair that was reserved for Messiah. And that's part of what I think contributed to what follows. And all the eyes of in the synagogue were fixed upon him. He had done something after proclaiming who he was that you just don't see. And then in verse 21, let me back up. He's spoken the word. So the word has been put forth. Faith can come by that word if it's received. So we might say he was ready for the power to manifest. But in verse 21, he said to them, because they were all looking at him like, what has happened here? Who are you? And he began to say to them, today this scripture has been fulfilled in your hearing. Should have been more words of faith. So in other words, it's time for something to happen. But what do we know? In verse 22, they continue talking and they said, well, gosh, he says great things, but who is he? I mean, he said, isn't this just Joseph's son? And so they made him common as if there was just one of them, but certainly anything but common. So there he is, time for something to happen. The power's there, but there's no what? There's no faith there to bring forth that power, that manifestation, because it takes the faith of the word spoken to act on it to cause that manifestation. So that is why we see people reading the word first, and see a lot of cases, we'll look at one of Jesus reading the word first, so that faith will come with that word, and then mixed with that power, then that's the blasting cap, and then things begin to happen. Now, I want to pause here, and I'm going to talk about some things regarding things I have seen. Do not think that I'm doing this in pride or elevating myself, but I want you to see, as I've had opportunity to lay hands on people, something that I have witnessed. One thing I have witnessed is that after they've heard the word, there was just no faith to believe for that they on their own could receive. And I can discern that power has gone into people where that has happened. But the other thing that I have found is there are some people, and this is true in Tennessee, and it's been true here in eastern Tennessee where we lived, and also it's been true here in middle Georgia, where I've seen that there are some people who come to us or who call us to pray or who send us an email or a Facebook message to, would you pray for this matter? And when we pray in agreement, it always seems like they receive. Now, there are others, though, who come repeatedly and there's nothing that seems to happen. And there have been times I know the anointing was there and it went upon them. But what I want you to see is, even today, we have people who look beyond the fact that this is just Minton. And they don't see Minton. They see an anointing on him to pray. And they receive. I mean, it's to a point that when certain people come up for prayer like that, I know somebody better be behind them, because the power is going to come in them because they believe it so strongly. They don't believe that I've got any power, but they believe that I am anointed and that anointing is in me. And so I just want to caution you, when you go up to have people pray for them, don't look at it even as just your pastor or whoever else is doing it, or your good friend or your spouse. Look at it as it's someone who is anointed of God, and it's that anointing that breaks the yoke, not just any power within that person. And that's really why I believe that people later wanted to just touch Jesus. They thought, if I can just touch him, things would happen. Let me give you an example of that in Luke 6, verse 17. Luke 6, verse 17. So Jesus has been with his disciples up on the mountain when he selected them. And it says, and he descended with them, and he stood on a level place, and there was a great multitude of his disciples, and a great throng of people from all Judea and Jerusalem and the coastal regions of Tyre and Sidon, who had come to hear him. That's important. They came to hear, and they came to be healed of their diseases, and those who were troubled with unclean spirits were being cured. So they came to hear first. Faith comes, mixes with the power, the anointing on him. Power is produced. Then they can receive healing and have the authority to have unclean spirits cast out of them. And then it says in verse 19, and all the multitude were trying to touch him. Now, think about this. Thousands of people, in some cases 5,000 men with family and children. So how many thousand? 20? I don't know. But just think about the thronging that took place around him just so they could touch him, because they believe, when I do, power is going to be released. And they've what? They've heard his message. Now, I personally believe that when Jesus went and spoke in a lot of these places, what he said in Luke 4, 18 and 19 that we just read, that's the same thing he was declaring. The Messiah is here. I'm ready to do my work, what I've been prophesied from Isaiah. And then in verse 19, the thing I want you to pick up is when they were trying to touch him, for power was coming from him. So we see that fits in right with what we've been teaching, right with what can happen with you and I today when we receive or when we're ministering. And he was healing them all. The anointing was healing them all. The power of the anointing of the Spirit was healing them all. So that's why I want us to have faith in the power of God. So say with me today, I have faith in the power of God. Now let's say it a couple of more times. I have faith in the power of God. I have faith in the power of God. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. So I want to ask you, can this power heal today? Can it heal you? Can it heal others as you speak the word and lay hands upon them? Yes. Can we get to a point where it's all? Yeah, together I think we can. Individually, I've not seen anyone yet who healed all. But again, you've got to understand that there are many who come and don't see the anointing that are in people, even though they're all. You know, sickness is a thief. It's what? It steals, kills, and destroys. And it's never God's desire for people to be sick or remain sick. It's always been and always will be his desire to see people healed. Now let's look at another example of this. Luke 8. So we're right there. Just turn a page. And we'll start in verse 43. Now Jairus has gotten Jesus and he's on the way back to his house. And a woman, in verse 43, who had a hemorrhage, Luke tells us 12 years, and could not be healed by anyone. No power in anyone to heal her. I think it also says in King James that she'd spent all the money she had. And Jesus, she came up behind Jesus, and she touched the fringe of his garment, and immediately her hemorrhage stopped. Now, other translations, other accounts of this will say that she was saying to herself, if I just touch, isn't that exactly what we've just seen in these other verses in preceding? That's what she heard, I'm sure. That was the word proclaimed about Jesus that she heard. And she thought, if I can get to him, the same thing will happen. And then we pick up on verse 45. And Jesus said, who touched me? And while they were all denying it, Peter said, Master, the multitudes are crowding and pressing upon you. And Jesus said, someone did touch me, for I was aware, and the King James will use the word virtue, but it literally is power, that power has gone out of me. So he sensed the power flowing out of him. And you can do that even today as you minister to people. And when the woman saw that she had not escaped notice, you know, she may have thought he's going to take it back. Because he wasn't just ministering to her. He wasn't ministering to people at all. She came and took her healing. She came trembling and fell down before him and declared in the presence of all the people the reason she had touched him and how she had been immediately healed. And he said to her, and I believe with a great smile on his face, "Daughter, your faith has made you whole." He didn't say, "My power has made you whole." "Your faith has made you well. Go in peace." So what happened? If I can just touch him, if I can just touch him, then I shall be healed. She had faith in the anointing that was on him for healing. Hebrews 6, the 4th and 5th verse reads this way. "For in the case of those who have once been enlightened and tasted of the heavenly gift and been made partakers of the Holy Spirit." Now, that's describing you and I today. If we've been born again and we've tasted of the gift of the Holy Spirit, in other words, that the anointing coming upon us. And it says then, "And we've tasted the good word of God." And what comes with that good word when we have faith and connect with the anointing? Power does. So we've tasted of the good word of God and the powers of the ages to come. So that is telling us that this supernatural power that we're going to see more and more of, and we'll see it all the time once we get in heaven, we'll see how it works. We'll see it maybe through our own words if we're giving assignments in heaven. We've seen it work, and that's what I want you to consider. You've probably seen it work more than you realize. You've experienced it and tasted it in ways that you don't really understand. Even when we speak in a language that we don't know to the Father, how mad it must make the devil, because we're demonstrating the power of God and he can't do a thing about it. But what? How much we're going to experience it is going to be based on our faith in it. So we need to believe it, we need to receive it, and we can act on it as we experience it. Now, don't start this with us about, "But I don't know how it works." You don't need to know how it works. I don't either. You know, I shared in healing school last week a testimony of a young girl that I had shared. I didn't know. I went to the hospital to pray for her, never met her or family or anything. That can be a very awkward situation. And the Lord just told me, "Love her. Tell her I love her." So we shared with some things about how much God loved her and how he carried her picture around. And you could just see her relax. That's what? The word was being shared with her about her Father, her Heavenly Father, and the love he had. And once I laid hands on her, I learned later, not only was she healed of pneumonia in the left lung, where she had a tube, that tube came out the next day. They were there to x-ray her for the right lung because they thought pneumonia was there too. They actually came just before we ministered to her. And we find out that within 48 hours, she's home. And she just said, "Tell that guy the prayer worked." Well, yeah, it worked. But it had nothing to do with that guy except I believed that I had the anointing that the Lord has placed upon what? All who have believed, as Mark 16 tells us. Now, I got into this saying, you don't have to understand how it worked. I'm sure she didn't. I know what happened, but I don't know how it worked. But that reminds me of what Brother Kenneth Hagin used to say frequently before his death, and you can hear him say it on many videos today that are available over the internet. He said he never could understand how a brown cow could eat green grass, produce white milk, and make some wonderful yellow butter that he never ceased to put on his biscuits. He didn't understand how, but he knew what? It tasted good. And we have tasted more of that good word and of the powers to come than we think. So we're now getting into this, can I walk in this? Look at 1 Corinthians 4, 19 and 20 with me. 1 Corinthians 4, 19 and 20. Paul says to the people in Corinth, "But now I will come to you soon, if the Lord wills, and I shall find out not the words of those who are arrogant, but their power." In other words, there had been some others coming, and they've been speaking words. And he's saying, I'm going to find out if they just had words or if they had power. And he says then, "For the kingdom of God does not consist in words, but in power. So the question that I want to ask, and I want us to see, is Paul stating that any man can come and just speak any word and power will be there? No, he's saying you're being deceived if you're listening to those words because there's no power in it. But what is he saying, though? He's saying, I, as a man, came to you with words of power. And I didn't do the works, but the what? I would say Jesus in me did the works. So the question then that we had last week is this true of us as well? Well, go to 1 Thessalonians, the first chapter, and we're going to look at verses 5 and 6. The Word, the power, and the Holy Spirit. Verse 5, for our gospel did not come to you in word only. That should sound familiar. But also in power and in the Holy Spirit, in the anointing, and with full conviction, absolute faith, just as you know what kind of men we proved to be for your sake. So the folks in Thessalonica had seen this in Paul. And the question we're asking is, can this work in me the same way? And look at what Paul says in verse 6. You also became imitators of us and of the Lord. How did they do that? Well, keep reading. Having received the word, even in much tribulation, with the joy of the Holy Spirit. Now, what is Paul saying? You received the word just as we have. Now you're going about, and the word is spreading through the land of all the works that you're doing. He commended them for that, for going in the love and having that power work through them. So yes, the Father has given you and I that same anointing. The devil is scared spitless about it. He fears what God can do with you and I. So he'll come and he'll try to just to what? Take the focus off of Jesus and get us to thinking, look what I did, or look what my prayers did. And yes, it was your words. And yes, we ought to have the same confidence as Jesus had when they said of Jesus. Now remember, who did Jesus say did the works? The Father in me. But they came to Jesus and the centurion said, I've got a servant sick. Will you come and heal him? And Jesus said, I will come and I will heal. He will come and he will heal. But what did he do? He spoke the word of the Lord. And folks, we can do the same thing. I go back to Reinhard Bonnke's quote. And what does it say? When Reinhard saw the evangelist who left, who was going to conduct this big healing meeting for him that he had preached about and told what would happen the night before, he got angry with the Lord. He was upset. And the Lord spoke to him and said, my words in your mouth are just as powerful as my words coming from my mouth. Because he's watching over them to perform. Paul went on to say in Romans 15, for I will not presume, and this is in verses 18 and 19, I'm sorry. For I will not presume to speak of anything except what Christ has accomplished through me. Again, it's not what Minton did when he's prayed for some of you and you received. It's what Jesus did through me. Resulting in the obedience of the Gentiles by word and deed. So not only did this power being manifested heal someone, it also brought others to Jesus. It was at dinner bell. And look how he did it. In the power of signs and wonders, in the power of the Spirit who dwells, who you have a union with Jesus with in you, so that from Jerusalem and round about as far as Illyricum, I have fully preach the gospel. Saints, this is why we've been baptized. This is why we've been receiving the Holy Spirit so that we can move in these things. This must be us today. Every area of the word works the same way. We've seen what we saw of words of salvation spoken. They bring salvation. We see words of healing spoken. We see it. And we've learned what? We just can't speak words, but we can also go ahead and speak those words with power. Now, I want to jump ahead, and I'm just going to close with this, and I'm going to come back and fill in the gaps next week. It is His power in you and I. So it's His power in me. Now, let's say this from the Lord's perspective. My power is in you. And this is a thought that I want to leave with you for the next week. His power goes everywhere He goes. Now just take that and meditate it. The power of God goes everywhere that Jesus goes. And He is in you. Now we're going to pick up more and we'll do part two of His power in me next week. We love you guys. Meditate and think about this word. Confess, I believe in the power of God. I believe in the power of God in the words that I speak, because His power dwells in you, and the fullness of His power goes wherever He goes, not a partial amount. We love you guys. See you next week.